This is your morning creative for Wednesday, March the 6th. I'm Mark Steadman, delighted as ever to be with you. Oh, here we are then. How is Wednesday shaping up for you so far? I hope it's I hope it's everything you hoped it would be. It's been 24 hours since I last did stand up in front of a bunch of people. And boy, are my arms tired. No, it was really good. I had a lot of fun. So we talked back in the sort of the last iteration of the show. I mentioned it a couple of times that I'd been on this stand-up course and there were things that I was learning about it. And yesterday, I think I finally learned that I have to stop playing the equivalent of the I'm just a bumbling country lawyer, that trope, like, I have to stop playing that because it turns out I'm a competent human being and I can present well. And, I'm not saying I tore the roof off or anything, but I did pretty well. I was competent and I made people laugh. And I wasn't, absolutely terrified. Let's just put it that way. Sometimes we've got to back ourselves. Sometimes I think we have to remind ourselves, like, I know the phrase, like, we got this has been kind of ruined now and it's just been overused. I think I realized that when I saw it in the last Hobbit film, when a hobbit or an elf turned to another elf or a hobbit turned to another hobbit and said, I've got this. I think at that point I was like, okay, we've reached peak, I've got this. That said, there are moments when I think we have to remind ourselves that sometimes we do. And we have to kind of step into that, for want of a better word, responsibility sometimes, I think, and sort of take ownership, take ownership of the abilities we've got. So with that then, let's take ownership of some things that it might be worth you knowing about. Yep, I do segues really well. So Google is cracking down further on what it calls low-quality spammy content. I thought this would be useful to bring to your attention. They don't mention AI by name, but they do point to sort of automated content at scale. And so I kind of just wanted to throw this in here as a reminder that short-term tactics always come back to bite you in the end. And so, it's never worth those short throw, quick growth tactic things. Like, they never really pan out. Google's in a big fight at the moment against AI, and I think the web might end up fighting Google as well, but that's a whole other issue for a whole other different podcast. Now, in other news, I've never made it all the way through a Mr. Beast video, but I thought this was an interesting little insight. If you don't know Mr. Beast, he's like YouTube's biggest star. He makes big, quite stunty videos. And one of his most famous ones was from about 2.5 years ago now, where he recreated an iconic scene from Squid Game. He's now recommending other YouTubers stop using some of the tactics he does because he's no longer using them. So there was a trend for a while for gurning in thumbnails, just like gorp, just doing these big-eyed, stupid, open-mouth-face YouTube thumbnails because we'd all decided for 6 months that YouTube really liked it when we had these faces that, that made us go, oh, I must click that. That's really interesting. He's now stopped doing that. He's also recommending against the sort of quick, sharp cuts, jump cuts and things that have been ever more popular and kind of get a little bit ridiculous where you remove every tiny little bit of dead space. I don't know if this is just a sign of him growing up. He's 25 now, and he's a multi-millionaire, but maybe he is growing up, and his latest video is him in an abandoned city trying to survive for 7 days. And it's very, like I said, I've never made it all the way through one of these videos. They're not really my scene, but very, very highly produced, very well produced. There's a lot of skill that goes in there. And you can see why he's number one. But at the same time, I'm interested in the fact that he's got these little pieces of advice for us to learn. And I think it's just maybe a bit of an indicator that the web, or at least that part of the web, is changing, and also a reminder that for those of us who make things for the internet, content, for want of a better word, that draws people to the stuff we're making, like, not everything has to appeal to a 21-year-old. Speaking of old man syndrome, I got quite grumpy today about someone insisting that the only way to grow an audio podcast, you know, like this one, was to pivot to video. So instead of talking about things that make me grumpy, let's talk about play instead. Play is one of those words, I think. It has a bit of a team away day kind of feel, you know? Let's all talk about play. And all you really want to do is sort of get back to your job, you know what I mean? You've got stuff to do, you've got deadlines to meet, and these jackasses want to come in and talk to you about play for a day, and it's like, oh no. That said, I'm gonna try and not tread on that kind of territory, but let's see how we go. But it doesn't have to be about like team building games or even improv, not if you don't want it to. Play for me is about time poorly spent. And that's the point. The point is to spend the time poorly, not wisely. I think the best kind of play has an element of time theft to it. You know, if it is an office away day, is it really play, or is it, you know, just the job that's been moved somewhere else and it's just one long meeting? I think if an idea is dragging your attention away from the thing that you're supposed to be doing, then that might be an idea worth following, and that might be play for you. You know, play doesn't have to be with a physical object. It could be, I know this is going to sound like bunkum, but it could be with an idea. You can play with an idea. You can roll it around in your brain and take it to an extreme, which we're going to play with in a bit. That's a really good way of like finding the funny, by the way, as well, is to take an idea and sort of keep toying with it, keep going, well, if that's true, then what else is true? And then if that's true, what else is true? Or, you know, I wrote a little run for my stand-up set. I had this bit where I was describing things as a visually impaired person, things that I don't have. And it was just straight. It wasn't a gag. I was just saying, I don't have this thing, as a way of just explaining how I move about the world. And by noticing, that's a run of three things. If that's true, what else don't I have? I don't have depth perception. And then I can keep going, right? And, you know, my next line was like, I don't have a clue what I'm doing here. And, you know, the first one is like, people are not quite sure whether they're allowed to laugh or not. And then they laugh. And then the next one are like, oh, okay, we get it. And so you can really have a lot of fun if you take an idea or take a thing, especially if you start to see a pattern or a run, and just go, what happens if we keep doing that long after it makes sense, kind of thing. I think I do a lot of the stuff that I do out in the world, like whether it be stand-up or improv or even writing songs, that kind of stuff, I do it purely for play. I think I've realized, like, I say I do it to meet people or to expand what I can do, you know, to learn new skills, but really it is about play, and it is something that we need. We've got to find ways to continue to do things that allow us to turn our brain off, for one thing. You know, there's different forms of play. Like, I enjoy, as I've said before, sitting and playing a video game, and sometimes ideas percolate. Sometimes I'll listen to an audiobook while I'm playing as well, because it's you know, if it's not a particularly engrossing game, it's just something simple, I can let ideas kind of roll around in my brain and see what happens.
You know, then there's other forms of play that are a bit more active, and that's great, because while you're engaged in that completely different activity, especially if it's something completely different from what you usually do, then it just allows the brain to just activate and work in a completely different way. It's also the equivalent of if you've had an idea or something that you've been working on for a while and just spending a bit of time away from it and then coming back to it can be really helpful as well. Now, if you want to dig into this a little bit deeper, my friend Anya has a podcast that I help her with called The A to Z of Happiness. And we did an episode on play. So if you want to check it out, it's episode 16, and a link is in the show notes. And that goes into a lot more detail about the connection between play and happiness. Okay, so let's take ourselves a break. And then when we come back, let's find a little niggling problem and see if we can turn it into something freakish and fantastic. Welcome back. So we're going to take ourselves a bit of time now to have a moment of stillness, and let's see if there's something that's been on your mind, just a little niggling, one of those little things, and see what happens when we play with it and make it ridiculous and make it stupid and just see what that does to it and what that does to yourself. So if you are feeling ready and up for it, today my voice is going to be coming at you from the interior of a spaceship. So I hope that's okay. Make sure you are nice and comfortable and that you're at rest. You're not moving anywhere, not physically anyway. And when you're ready, close your eyes, or you can lower your gaze and just feel the seat beneath you. Feel that point of contact between you and the ground, you and the floor. Notice all of those different points of contact, whether it's your sitting bones, your feet on the floor, maybe your hands resting on your knees or in your lap. Now take a moment to follow your breath, nice and steady. Or if you prefer, just count down slowly from 10 to 1. Think of something recently that got on your nerves, maybe got under your skin a little bit. Nothing major. And it's even better if you're kind of too ashamed to say what it is out loud. Maybe someone just said something in a weird tone, or you caught an odd look from someone. Maybe you did your hair all nice and no one noticed. But it's better if it's something that happened rather than didn't, if you see what I mean. Think of something someone did or said. I'll give you a moment to find it.
picture the person responsible. Picture the guilty party. If you don't know what they look like, picture in your mind the sort of person who would do something like that. Use all the stereotypes and prejudices you want. This is your fantasy. I won't tell anyone. Get a good mental image of them. Now, put them in a scene where they're doing something that really winds you up. Think of it as maybe a little vignette or perhaps a looping GIF. Maybe it's one of those boomerang videos that goes in reverse before it loops back round again. Now pick a frame from that scene and hold it in your mind. Find something in that scene that you can exaggerate. Maybe it's an object you can blow up. Maybe a tiny detail in the person's face or their clothes. Something only a tiny bit different that you can shine a light on. The trick here is to pick something that you can laugh at. Something that, when you make it big or you shine a light on it, it doesn't become scary. It becomes ridiculous. If you can't find an object that works or a person, then maybe think about how you might render this little snapshot in a different art style, like a Disney cartoon or an anime, or a kid's picture book, or something weird like a scientific manual. Keep focusing on that thing and making it bigger, weirder, more grotesque. Whatever that thing was initially remarkable for, now make it absurd. Keep going. Feel free to add a little bit of movement and some animation into it. maybe even add a little bit of fitting music in your head. Ignore the laws of physics now and go absolutely wild with it. Think about if what you're seeing is true, what else could be true? How else can you flesh out this world? What else is here? Who else is here? What are they doing? Just how far can you take this? And as you do, can you make yourself properly laugh? Now, imagine yourself taking out an old-style camera and taking a picture. Let the picture develop and then slip it into a pocket. That's something you can take with you if you ever need it. Or just pull it out when you feel like being ridiculous. So now, let's bring your attention gently back to the body. Feel the awareness and the weight of the different points of contact between you and the ground, or the chair, or your bed, wherever you're sitting. Just notice the feel and the weight. Now notice any sounds, any smells that come up. And when you're ready, gently open your eyes. Oh, I like that one. So next time, we're going to talk about what to do when you want to sleep, but your brain keeps feeding you ideas. In the meantime, you can find me online at Hello Stedman. And if you want a prompt for your journal, head to morningcreative.co/prompt. Go well, and I'll see you again tomorrow.